In a previous episode of Ask Dr. Gill, I discussed yoga and the healing aspects of it, including the aspect of community. And I received some questions about that from listeners, and I want to dive a little deeper into the connection between yoga, co-regulation, and attachment theory. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the show, I want to be talking about some of the aspects of how our nervous system learns safety through movement, relationships, and awareness. And before I go too far into this, when I discuss relationships, it isn't just romantic relationships. And I think it's important to keep in mind that friendships are a really big factor in our mental, physical, and emotional health. And that could probably end up being a separate episode, but I just want to have that. I just want you to have that in the background, in the back of your mind, because a lot of the aspects I'm going to be talking about today relate to that. And we're going to look at these important frameworks in terms of co-regulation and attachment theory and how they weave together in terms of healing anxiety and emotional dysregulation. Because really, this is about embodying the health, the healing aspects in our physical form. And it's not just an intellectual exercise. I go too deep into this, let's talk about what co-regulation is, because this is how our nervous system is communicating. And it's really interesting. You know, my background in part is in neurofeedback and especially lens. And what neurofeedback is doing is measuring brainwaves. And one of the brainwaves that I think is underrated is gamma waves. And gamma waves are a frequency that's higher than beta waves. It's in the, you know, it depends on the literature and how you look at it, but roughly the 70 to 100 hertz range. And they were discovered later because most of the equipment is measuring at lower frequencies, including the lens equipment. It doesn't actually record the gamma waves, unfortunately. Well, gamma waves are when we talk about, oh yeah, we're on the same wavelength, literally it is the exchange of gamma waves at the same frequencies. And it's interesting because delta waves we know are a carrier wave, which are the low, low frequencies. They're a carrier wave for gamma waves, but there's probably other aspects of how these frequencies are carrying each other and piggybacking on one another. And my suspicion is, as we learn more about this, this is going to be sort of the mechanism around co-regulation. So what is co-regulation? It's basically how our nervous systems communicate with one another through tone, body, language, energy, about how grounded we are, how calm we are or not, how there's safety or not. And we don't even realize that it's happening. And it's one of those things that I think is important. And when I talked about yoga and the community of yoga, I think this may be part of what is going on in a yoga class, because the instructor, a good instructor, is going to help regulate people's breathing and oftentimes breath with movement or breathing as you're holding a pose. And keeping that steady, because if you're hyperventilating while you do a pose, that's not going to relax you, right? So that's what we're trying to get to, is this place of breathing calmly while holding the poses, which then translates as we move through the world. And this is, you know, one of the ways to think about this is think about this as a baby relaxing in a parent's arms. If the parent is at peace when the baby's upset and doesn't strike out, I don't mean physically, I just mean gets frustrated with the baby is going to learn to self-soothe. And that's where we're trying to get to as adults. But know that if you haven't gotten there, and I'll talk more about this in the second part of the show, that you can get there as an adult, even if you weren't modeled that as a child. So for many of us, we were raised by parents who weren't able to be calm when we were upset. And so we learned a dysfunction, if you will, in terms of how the nervous system is responding to situations. And oftentimes what happens is that people choose partners and or friends that mimic the early childhood rearing. I was actually talking to a patient about this a couple weeks ago and how she chooses partners that are, she knows intellectually they're not good for her, but they're comfortable. And oftentimes what needs to happen first is to reprogram your nervous system so that you're not comfortable with those people, the people you know that aren't good for you, and you become comfortable with the people that are good for you. And I think often it really is a function of unfamiliarity. And the vagus nerve is such an important part of this. This is how the system responds and understands, am I safe? This is part of the polyvagal network. And I think I did a podcast about that some time ago. When we don't feel safe, we shift into fight, flight, or freeze. And that all depends on kind of your upbringing, right? So some people will go into fight, some people will run away, and some people will just freeze. Usually you don't do all three, but sometimes you do. And if you learn that over time, this becomes chronic. This becomes the chronic dysregulation. And usually that is a function of childhood and how you were raised, but not always. Sometimes it's part of how we're wired. I talked about that in the podcast about attachment theory. And just as a reminder about that, so attachment theory helps us understand how we learn to regulate and how we learn to relate to people. So if you're secure, you learn people are safe and your emotions can be shared. And that's easy. If you're anxious, you stay alert. You're always scanning for disconnection. And part of it in terms of co-regulation is if you're anxious and your partner, if you're an anxious attacher and your partner is going through a problem, oftentimes the anxious partner becomes more anxious, even if their partner is secure, when the secure person expresses something that is going on with them. And that's not super fair to the secure person, right? But the anxious person heightens the experience that is going on for the secure person, even if it's not that big of a deal for the secure person. It becomes amplified in their mind. Again, this is exaggeration, but for someone with anxious attachment, this may sound familiar. Likewise, someone who's avoidant might move away from emotion to stay safe. And so if their partner who's either anxious or secure is having a problem at that moment, the avoidant person may avoid the situation and not be there for the partner because they can't handle the emotional intensity. And the disorganized might do both at the same time. They may get close, they may run away because that's kind of what they do. And so in these situations, co-regulation can be very challenging. Now, if an anxious or an avoidant person is with someone with secure, attachment style who recognizes what's going on, then healing can occur, right? That puts a lot of work on the secure person, but it's also putting work on the avoidant or the anxious person because they're having to be aware of what's going on in their body and then reprogram that. So this is where yoga and meditation can be very, very helpful because awareness allows us to understand the visceral experience meaning what's going on in my body? What am I feeling so that I can then allow that to be there without judgment and allow it to heal? So I'm going to take a quick break, and on the second part of the show, I'm going to talk more about that and what we can do, what one can do for healing. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And before we jump back into co-regulation, attachment theory, and yoga, I want to just remind you that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email at info@askdrgill.com. And that's part of where this episode is coming from, was from comments from listeners like you, asking about specific things from a previous podcast. So, and it gives me more information and more topics, if you will, to talk about. So, okay, so we understand that co-regulation is how people can attune their nervous systems to one another to calm down. And this isn't just in romantic relationships. It's also friendships that are really important in terms of this. And I think in our society of Disneyifying everything, that we as a group in Western culture, at least, tend to value romantic relationships more than friendships. And I think that's a mistake. I think that having really close friends is an important part of health and healing. I think men in particular are guilty of this more than women. I think women are better at maintaining friendships. And now I'm generalizing here. I do want to say that. I think this is partly a cultural thing and how we have played the roles of men and women, if you will, in Western society, particularly in the United States. But it's really important to recognize that having 4 to 5 people that you can go to when something is not going right in your life, just to even talk about things, is really, really important. There have been multiple studies about this. I've mentioned blue zones before, and that's actually one of the aspects that they find is having these social connections. And with the blue zones, it is the areas where they have the most people above 100 years of age as a percentage. And these relationships are really, really important. And it could be, there hasn't been work studies done on this, but I'm going to guess it has to do with co-regulation and having someone to go to where you can talk about what's going on and it will calm things down for you. It's not even that you're getting an answer to the problem. It's just the engagement with somebody that then you can kind of begin to move from a sympathetic to a parasympathetic system state, right? So you get out of fight, flight, or freeze. Freeze is technically an unhealthy parasympathetic state, but you get out of the fight or flight into a healthy parasympathetic state where you can rest and digest. And this is where yoga comes in. It's not just about stretching, it's or building strength. It's about regulating the nervous system to experience safety and stillness. Oftentimes, we find that we fidget or we move around a lot because we don't feel safe. And honestly, I think some of that has to do with ADD issues for a lot of people. It's not that they're ADD, quote unquote. And you see this because they'll take Ritalin, but it doesn't actually help them. And the problem is they don't feel safe. And so a lot of the aspects of this allow for, a lot of the aspects of yoga allow for the body to move from that sympathetic anxious state into a more parasympathetic calm state. So for example, exhaling slowly stimulates the vagus nerve. And you can do breath work. You can do this with a friend or a partner too. You don't have to necessarily go to a yoga class. There's something called box breathing. Box breathing is you inhale for a count of four, you hold for a count of four, you exhale for a count of four, you hold for a count of four. And four is just a number that is typically used, but it doesn't have to be four. Usually that's enough time in terms of the hold, because a lot of people, particularly when you exhale all of your breath, holding for a long time is challenging for people, but it's actually helpful for kicking in relaxation states in the body. And that could be in a whole other discussion. Don't want to go down that road just yet. So the other thing is that grounding poses like child's pose, for example, or happy baby or mountain pose, these bring the body into presence and they're very grounding for our system. They help us restore into a relaxation state, but not without collapsing. And I think these are really important in terms of helping you feel embodied. Because oftentimes when you're in an anxious state, you leave your body. I don't mean physically, you're still obviously in your body, but you are mentally not all there. And this happens a lot when we're in pain, physical, emotional, or spiritual. We will leave our body and be unpresent with ourselves. And I think that it's important to understand this because as you become more aware of your internal sensations, then you can bridge the gap between body and emotion. What's interesting is that emotions basically only last for 90 seconds. So if you can just be with that for the 90 seconds, whatever intensity is there, whatever the feeling is, and let go and not attach any thought to it, then it will go away on its own. And I think it's how we move from thinking about healing to actually healing. And this is really an important piece about this. So healing often begins with co-regulation. It's the ability to feel safe in the presence of another person. And as that grows, I think that then we can self-regulate more. And I think this is one of those chicken and eggs. You know, it's interesting. If you read through a lot of psychology texts, a lot of it is around how do you self-regulate? How do you self-heal? How do you not depend on other people? And I think the reality is that's possible only if you've had a secure attachment framework as your base growing up. And if you don't have that, I think you need to learn how to do both the self-soothing and the co-regulation. And it's not an either-or situation. It's a yes-and situation. So the goal is restoring flexibility in the nervous system. And over time, as you feel calm within yourself and with other people, this is when the healing begins. And whether you do it through yoga, through therapy, through neurofeedback, the goal is the same, which is to gain this flexibility and self-awareness so that you can feel safe in your life. So that's what I got for you today about co-regulation and yoga and attachment theory. You know, the thing about this is that we heal in connection. We heal with ourselves, with others, with our body, and within ourselves. And I think if you're struggling with trauma and anxiety, remember, it's not about trying harder. It's about letting go. It's about getting into a state where rest and digest, repair can happen. And you can learn more about this. Check out my website at askdrgill.com and feel free to reach out, send an email, or if you have questions, like I said. And thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your audience and hope this is helpful for you. And I will see you next time.